Have you ever had a time or even times in your life that there were circumstances, situations, people that made you bitter? Think about that for a minute. Now, when I said that, some of you probably already thought of circumstances, situations, or people that really caused you to be bitter. I'm not talking about just angry for a moment or just having something on your mind for a little while, but I'm talking about something that got so deep down inside that it literally made you bitter. Now the question is this: if you did, how did you deal with it? What was it that helped to get you through it? And some of you may not even be through it yet. If that's you, then I really pray that you're going to stick around today, because what we're going to do is we're going to continue a look at our Wednesday series that I titled Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. And today, we're going to look at what we need to replace bitterness with in our lives. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So grab your Bible. We certainly want you to be right on board with us as we go forward. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so happy to have you on board with us today, joining us for our Bible study. And just a moment ago, I mentioned we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And what these verses are going to do, they're going to address what we need to do when bitterness comes in our lives. Now you notice I said when bitterness comes in our lives. Why did I say it that way? Because the plain, simple bottom line is there are going to be things, people, situations, and circumstances that if left untended in our hearts and in our lives can take root and can grow that bitterness. So, you know, in our journey through life, we often encounter situations that can lead to bitterness, situations that can lead to disappointment, situations that can lead to betrayals, and things that can lead to losses in our lives. However, the Word of God provides us with a very powerful antidote to this poison of bitterness. And guess what it's called? Are you ready for this? It's called gratitude. All right. Today, we're going to explore, you know, how to cultivate a heart of gratitude. And in doing so, having that heart of gratitude that can transform our mindset and actually replace bitterness with joy. We know that the Word of God tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I really hope and pray that if the Holy Spirit's already tapped your heart and this is something, and bitterness is something that you're dealing with right now, that you will grab you something to write on, that you will make sure you mark this passage in your Bible, and that you truly would chase, you know, pursue the Word of God, pursue the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you might take the bitterness and change it to joy within your life. Now, a moment ago I mentioned we're going to be looking at passages that come out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be specifically dealing today with verses 16 through 18. So if you've got your Bible open, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 16, reads like this: Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we pray that you would help us to lay aside any weight that would hinder us from hearing the Holy Spirit speak in and to our lives. Father, particularly if there are those that are listening today that are dealing with bitterness, Father, all of us deal with it at some point. And if we're not right now, we will down the road. There are those things that can just take root in our lives that should not. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the answer to bitterness in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will give us the tools today, tools from your word that we might make applicable in and to our lives, Father, that we can be everything you want us to be. Lord, help there be found no bitterness whatsoever in each and every one of us. And Father, if there is, I pray that we will be courageous enough to take those steps, Father, to repent, to come to you, Lord, and to understand from your word the process that will deliver us from bitterness. Lord, as always, I ask that You would use me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Father, to truly lift you up. And then, Lord, for those that hear, I pray that the tailor-made message they'll hear from the Holy Spirit, Lord, would be something they would act upon in their lives, whatever it may be. So, Lord, bless our time as only you can. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you know, bitterness, that's one of the big things that we're talking about today. And every one of us, at some point in our lives, we can understand what that's like, what that feels like. It most often happens because we've had something that's gone on in our lives, whether it's a circumstance, sometimes it could be a person, and we didn't deal well with it. And maybe it started off as something small, but yet it grew and grew and grew and grew because we did not take care of the problem in a biblical way, and we allowed that bitterness to take root in our hearts and to take root in our lives. Now, bitterness often arises from focusing on what we lack or wrong things that have been done to us. Think about it for a minute. It makes sense. You know, I've seen people before who've been bitter because, you know, they weren't wealthy. They looked at other people and they were just snippy all the time because they felt like life had been unfair to them. And let me pause right there just to say, life is unfair. God's not unfair, but life is unfair. But what happens is too often we start to focus on what we don't have. We start making comparisons in our lives to those that are around us, or and particularly when we look at others and we see what they do have. We sit back and say, well, look at what all they've got. Look what I don't have. And then we allow that to create bitterness within us. Another thing that happens is maybe somebody did something to you and wronged you. And what we've done is we just cannot process that and get through it. And when I say process it and get through it, I mean from a biblical perspective. Often we process it, but we'll process it often incorrectly. You know, we'll sit back and we will try to justify our right to be angry with somebody, or we will try to justify the right that we have the right to be bitter towards somebody because of what they had done to us. And folks, the bottom line is the Word of God says completely opposite of that. It says that we are supposed to forgive, and it says not to allow bitterness to take root in our hearts and in our lives. Bitterness is something that consumes our thoughts, and it can hinder our spiritual growth. And you know, some of you that have gone through it, particularly on an extreme level, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Man, you couldn't think of anything else. It just consumed every ounce of who you were. It consumed every ounce of your time, and you were too busy being bitter to be anything else. And when that happens, man, your spiritual growth can really be hindered. Now, in contrast, gratitude shifts our focus from our problems to our blessings. Now, I love the song. I have mentioned this so many times in our church, and it's an old hymn that I love. Now, whether you're a contemporary music lover or you know, whether you grew up in church all of your life in a traditional kind of way, that song, Count Your Blessings, you know, it talks about, you know, yeah, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Man, anytime we get into a circumstance like that, I want to encourage you to start to count your blessings. You know, if bitterness starts to come in, particularly when it's situations where you're envious of somebody because of what they have and maybe what you don't have, begin to look around you. You know, it's very easy to sit back and we should be thanking God for these things anyway. You know, I sit there and I think as we've come through some cold winters, I mean, I know we had some really low, you know, low double-digit temperatures through this past winter. And you know what? I remember times of coming in the house and saying, Lord, man, listen, I want to thank you that I've got a roof over my head. Lord, I want to thank you that I've got a furnace that works. And I want to thank you that my family is warm and safe and dry today. Folks, man, it will change your life if you can just count your blessings, all right? So gratitude will shift our focus from our problems to our blessings. That is a critical point. And like I said, if you're a note taker, write that down. Let me give it to you again. Gratitude shifts our focus from our problems to our blessings, what God has done and is doing for us. Now, When we intentionally practice gratitude, we open our hearts to joy and to peace. And those two things can dispel the darkness of bitterness. Right there is your answer. I mean, this is what we get out of this scripture today. You know, when you intentionally, and I like the word purpose, you have to purpose to do this, particularly when you're in something that you realize is endangering you or creating bitterness within your life. You need to intentionally, on purpose, or you need to purpose to practice gratitude, you know, and in doing so, you will open your heart to the joy that the Lord wants us to experience, and you will open your heart to the peace in which God wants all of us to have, which in turn will dispel that darkness of bitterness. So when we think about the context of this passage today, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Thessalonica to encourage them in their faith amidst trials and persecutions that they were having. Man, listen, you got to think about it this way. If you're in your church and you sit back and say, well, there's problems and this and that and the other thing, there's problems in every church. This traces all the way back to the original church. There were trials as well as persecutions. There were things that were going on outside of the church as well as inside of the church. Yet the Thessalonians were experiencing some hardships, and yet Paul emphasizes the importance of joy and gratitude. You know, his message is not just for them, but it resonates with you and I today. You know, and in doing so, it reminds us that our circumstances do not define our ability to rejoice and give thanks. You keep hearing that from me. You have heard about this from me for well over a decade now. You heard this from me last week, that big nasty word called circumstantial faith, not allowing our circumstances to determine our walk or how we feel with the Lord. Our circumstances do not define our ability to rejoice and to give thanks in the Father. Now, too many times we allow it to do that. That's our fault. But our ability to rejoice, our ability to enjoy God's goodness, our ability to give thanks is still there as a child of the King. And furthermore, it is the remedy to bitterness in our hearts. So as we look at this text, in these three short verses that we've read today, Paul gives us a very clear directive. He says this, he says, to rejoice always. And here are a couple of things. To rejoice always. Think about that for a minute. Always. Not just in some things, not just sometimes. To rejoice always. Then he says, to pray without ceasing. That means without stopping. You know, everything should be in a continued attitude of prayer. All right? So remember, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then give thanks in everything. Not some things, not just a few things, not in the majority of things, but in everything. Give thanks. Okay, the command to rejoice always is a very profound statement. It challenges us to maintain a spirit of joy regardless of our situation or our circumstances. Okay, remember, that's a challenge. You know, by doing that, by rejoicing always, that really challenges that spirit of bitterness that is trying to take root in your heart and trying to take root in your life, and regardless of what the situation may be. Then he says this, he says, pray without ceasing. Now this encourages us to cultivate a constant relationship with God where we can express our hearts and when we can seek his guidance along the way. That's that relationship part of it. And then everything that you do, it should be an attitude of prayer. And people said, well, that's kind of tough, you know, when you're talking about, you know, praying all the time. Not really. You know, we've got this attitude that prayer has become a posture rather than a conversation with God. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that it's great that we close our eyes and we bow our head. That is a prayer posture, and that's okay. But I want you to know as well that, you know what, I prayed a lot going down the road before. If you've ever driven in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, you understand that there is prayer behind the wheel if you want to survive. So The bottom line is you can pray without posturing, without folding your hands or closing your eyes or bowing your head. You can have conversations with the Lord. You can tell Him what's on your heart. You can explain to Him why these things are bothering you. So you need to pray without ceasing in all things. You know, cultivate that constant relationship with God, which allows us to tell Him what's on our heart, and it allows us to seek His guidance in what we're going through. Now, finally, there's the call to give thanks in everything. That's your number three. Give thanks in everything. And this is perhaps the most challenging yet transformative thing we can do. See, it requires us to look beyond our immediate feelings and our immediate circumstances and recognize God's hand in our lives. And see, too many times what we see is what's right in front of us. That person hurt me. That person did this. That person did, you know, whatever the situation may be, you can insert it. Or this situation didn't come out right. Or, you know, we can just sit back and get bitter over so many things. But in taking, you know, Paul's advice here, one of the things that happens is we're looking beyond our immediate feelings. Feelings are a very dangerous thing, folks. I want to say that. You know, we use that term with folks, and you know, I get it in some degree with some context, but too often we'll sit back and say, follow your heart. Well, last time I checked, the Word of God says that our heart is desperately wicked above all things. So do we really want to follow that? No, you don't want to follow your heart. You want to follow the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life. Now, trust me when I say, I get it when you sit back, you're like, well, that's what I was talking about when I said follow your heart. Well, you got to understand the heart is also the center of emotion, and emotions are very fickle. Emotions can fool us. Emotions create feelings within us. You know, I've often told couples during premarital counseling, I said, marriage is about a commitment. It's not about an emotion, you know, because I said, you know what, if marriage was about an emotion, I like to say it like this: if you can fall in love with somebody, with something or somebody, then you can fall out of love with it if it's on an emotional level. Marriage is about a commitment, okay? So taking the advice of our passages today causes us to look beyond our immediate feelings, and it causes us to look beyond the circumstances that are taking place in our life, and it causes us to look and to recognize God's hand in our lives, all right? So how is that theologically significant? Well, these verses remind us that gratitude is not merely a response to good circumstances, but a posture of the heart. Remember what I said before, not just a posture is something that we do in prayer, but the posture of our heart, meaning that we have a heart of gratitude. Some of you have heard or maybe even used the term, and you said, boy, I'll tell you one thing, that person right there really has a heart of gratitude. When I think about that, there are certain people who pop up in my heart right now. I can just see their face when I say a heart of gratitude. They are so thankful for anything that's done for them. They are so encouraging. They're the people that if you're having a bad day, you really want to go hang out with them because they're going to make you feel good in the first 3 seconds that you're with them. They're not going to lie to you, but they're just those kind of people. So think about it. Gratitude, is not merely a response to good circumstances, but rather it is a posture of our heart. And it also acknowledges God's sovereignty and His goodness, even when we cannot see it clearly. I can't tell you the number of times in my life that I have not understood what God is doing. You know, I pray that that I'm better. I feel like I am. I feel like I've come a ways down the road where, you know, I can look and I can say, Lord, I have no idea what You've got going on. I don't understand what it is that You're doing, but I trust You because You are wiser than I. You have a plan, and my plan's not always Your plan. And it's been so ironic that in doing so, when I do those things and when I do them properly, they turn out 100% right all the time. That's when you've turned it over to God, not when you take it on yourself. You see, gratitude aligns our heart with God's will, Now, ponder that statement for a moment. Gratitude aligns our heart with God's will, which is ultimately for our own good. Now, when we practice gratitude, we shift our focus from what we lack to what we have been blessed with. We talked about that a minute ago. All of a sudden, I'm not looking over here at what I don't have. I'm looking at what I do have. I'm looking at the way that God has blessed me. And you know, in doing so, God can place within you the heart to be able to celebrate with those that have been fortunate, to celebrate with those that maybe at one point you looked at with bitterness in your heart. You know, and when we do those things, man, when we take that opportunity to shift our focus from what we lack to what we've been so blessed with, that's going to foster a really deep trust in God's plan. And when you know you're following God's plan, what a place to be. Well, let me do this. Let me give you some practical applications. That's generally what we're looking for when the Word of God is spoken to us. We sit back and say, how can I make application to this in my life today? Okay, so how? Here we go. How can we practically replace bitterness with gratitude in our lives? If you wanted to make an earmark of that, if you're a note taker, that's what you need to write down. How can we practically replace bitterness with gratitude in our lives? Here are a few steps. Here are a few things that you can do. Number one, I would say to do a daily gratitude journal. Now, some of y'all are going, I'm not a journaler. I don't write stuff down. I'm not asking you to be a journalist and write articles every day. But even if it's to make, you know, a ledger, and you can sit back and you can say, you know what, when you get mad, you can say, or get bitter, you say, here's something that I'm a little bit bitter about. That's that one thing. Go over on the other side of your page and start writing down all the ways that God has blessed you. That goes back to my old hymn, count your blessings. So writing it down does something for us. It gives us an opportunity to look back on it. It gives us an opportunity to see God's faithfulness over time when you look back through these things. So take a moment each day to write down three things that you're grateful for. Okay? That's simple. Three things that you're grateful for. This simple practice can shift your focus from negative thoughts to a positive reflection. Okay? Thankfulness. Man, what a concept. All right? The second thing, number two. Pray for Thanksgiving. You know, incorporate gratitude into your prayers. Instead of only presenting your request to God, spend some time thanking Him for the blessings, both big and small. There are some times in my life when I'm driving down the road that I'm not asking God for anything. I'm just sitting back going, Lord, you know what? It's been a while since I've had a chance to come and thank you. But Lord, thank you for the home I live in. Thank you for the furnace that was working well on a cold day. Lord, thank you for my wife, and thank you for my son. Thank you for the many, many blessings that you have put in my life. And you know, but I don't have to go very many miles down the road to realize how blessed of a man I really am, okay? So spend some time thanking God for His blessings, both big and small. It doesn't have to be all the big stuff. Just the simple little things. All right, number three. I'm moving right along. Number three, be mindfulness of blessings. You know, throughout your day, make a conscious effort to notice the good that's around you. It's so easy to notice all the negative and the bad things, but take some moments to notice the good that's around you. Whether it's the beauty of nature, whether it's a kind word that a friend, you know, relayed to you, or maybe even a moment of peace, whatever it may be, acknowledge these blessings. See, the Holy Spirit's going to point them out to you, all right? And again, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a list of a few things I want to give you today. Number four, share your gratitude. You know, express your thankfulness to other people. Let them know how they have impacted your life in a positive manner. You know, man, it means a lot when somebody comes up and says, hey, I just want to let you know that your attitude or the way you handled this situation meant so much to me. I think about it often. Or maybe they've watched the way that you've lived your life in an attitude that does not, you know, portray bitterness. And they're like, man, I want to be more like you, okay? If somebody does that in your life, let them know how they have impacted your life in a positive manner. This not only uplifts them, but it also reinforces your own gratitude. Okay? Number five, reframe challenges. I like to use the word challenges, but you need to reframe those. You know, when faced with difficulties, ask yourself what you can learn from the situation, or, you know, how can this lead to growth in my life? That's what you need to say, all right? This can help transform bitterness into a sense of purpose. In other words, what is it that God wants me to learn from this? And we're sitting there going, okay, well, I didn't like this. It is a bitter, bitter taste in my mouth, but the plain, simple bottom line is that God is teaching me something through it. So I'm going to choose to look at what that is rather than allowing it to take root in my life and just completely mess me up in my walk with Him and in my relationship to other people and those that are around me. Okay? So those are five simple things, five tangible things you can write down to assist you along the way in being grateful and in changing bitterness into gratitude. So as we conclude our time today, let us remember that gratitude is a very powerful tool to combat bitterness. That's what I want you to get from these words today. Let me say it again. Gratitude is a powerful tool to combat bitterness, and it is a choice that you and I make daily. Yes, it is a choice. You choose whether you're going to be bitter or whether or not you are going to be joyful. It's as simple as that. It's a choice we make daily, a discipline that can reshape our hearts and it can reshape our minds. You know, in the words of Paul, let us rejoice always. Let us pray without ceasing, and let us give thanks in everything. May we cultivate a spirit of gratitude that transforms our lives and reflects the love of Christ to those that are around us. I hope and pray that you will do just that. Listen, let me have a word of closing prayer with you, then I'll let you know what we're in store for next week. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for your word, and we want to thank you for the reminder of the power of gratitude that we just read in your word today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to replace any bitterness in our hearts with thankfulness. Lord, I pray that you will teach us to see your blessings in every circumstance, and Lord, to rejoice in your goodness. May our lives, Father, reflect your love and grace as we practice gratitude on a daily basis. And Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, listen, again, I want to tell you what we're going to be looking at this week. Next week will be the final study in our series of transforming, I'm trying to think exactly how, because I had a subtitle to it as well, but it's Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. So next week will be the last in the sermon series. And I want you to spend some time this week in Colossians chapter 3. That's Colossians chapter 3. Next week, we are going to look at living in peace from Colossians chapter 3, verses specifically 12 through 15. And this passage is going to emphasize, or we're going to emphasize the call to live in peace with other people. Okay? This passage encourages us to adopt a lifestyle of love, compassion, and humility to maintain harmony among the brethren. So I hope and pray that you'll be studied up and that you will join us. As always, I want to take this time to give you a personal invitation to come worship with us at Central Baptist Church. Where our services start on 10:45 a.m. on Sunday mornings. As always, you know, I know people will look. We got a website that's listed on the screen there. You can go check some things out. We would certainly love for you to come by. If you need some information about us, feel free to contact us. You can call us, you can email us, however you want to get in contact with us. By the way, if you just want to meet and chat a little bit, I love coffee, and we can certainly sit there and drink some coffee and have some conversation. But at any rate, if you don't have a church home, I really want to encourage you to come join us. Be sure to introduce yourself to me. Say, hey, look, I've watched you on the Wednesday Bible study. I just wanted to come by and see you in person. We certainly would love to have you worship with us. We have several discipleship opportunities throughout the week at the church. but we can tell you more about that when we meet in person. So God bless you. I pray God's going to give you a great week. And I also pray that He is going to begin right now assisting you on changing that bitterness into gratitude. God bless. Have a great week. Thank you.